extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle, Tommy Scoop.
Actually, up, what do Tom? We do for New Jersey-based Tom? What's our pump-up song?
I don't know. Did we talk about this and I'm just blanking
I'm
on
so
it?
I'm so confused.
No, I just... It's happening right now.
Okay.
We're on the energy is out of control.
The show has started. The show. Is that what we're doing now?
Okay. Now I knew what we were doing here for this Yankees fan and swishy jacket wearer, Tom Bogert. Welcome to the show, Tom. Welcome to our beautiful studios. Unfortunately, there's not going to be any lawn care that happens during this hour and a half. But
just to make you feel at home, we are going to break a lot of the technology and ask you to fix it throughout the show.
We could make mower noises.
You're going to have to get the bleep button ready if you're asking me for technology stuff. Poor Andres is already running back.
So you have a cough button right here.
I was just mimicking you for your clearing your throat. It's like the Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, I do have to get ready for my O. And I do overthink the O. I want to make sure it's a good, solid, throaty O. Somebody hit us up and said, at what point do you graduate from a swishy tracksuit to a velour tracksuit? Do you have to be a made man? Is it an age thing, or is it just having
wasn't
the confidence
even worth
to pull it off?
No.
Tom, I'm so glad you wore your swishy tracksuit over our
did
One
you hear
Planet
Kaylin
kit.
Honoring you on Monday by wearing her swishy tracksuit.
Full swishy.
And she drove in from New Jersey to do so.
You know what's funny when I'm listening to the show and I'm not on the show, and particularly when you guys talk about New Jersey or the Knicks or stuff like that, not even when you say my name, it's like I want to answer. I'm walking my dog and starting to say what do you, why didn't you talk about Tibbs' substitution pattern? Oh.
Let's go.
What should we talk about Tibbs' sub pattern?
Yeah, so the issue right now is you bring Randall out early. He's not looking good with the second unit, but you don't trust RJ to run the second unit.
You don't trust RJ at all.
Yeah, but
stop
the whole thing
RJ, about my adult
RJ
son like
should
this.
Not should not be getting more than 10 minutes a game.
Yeah, okay, all right, relax.
Leave my boy alone.
Yeah. We don't know who Doyle roots for until we get to the finals, and then we'll find out. What if it's Warriors-Celtics final?
I didn't even watch the first two Celtics games. I just caught the highlights because it's such a walkover.
Yeah,
because
Trae Young's the worst player in the NBA. Everyone knows that. It's all on IQ, though, and he's going to step up big. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You don't stress.
I'm not stressed.
Yeah.
Bing bong.
Because you look nice.
Yeah. Every time I hear the subway doors open Bing or close, bong. I just see that entire video, and I'm like, just doing that exact guy.
Because the Knicks are back, baby.
Yeah. So, happy to have Tommy Scoops here today. It is almost the close of the primary transfer window. It's happening in a few days' time. So, Tommy will give us an update on that. We'll get an update on the most important thing in Major League Soccer, which is our Golden Boot draft.
Did Tom, post-transfer window vacation?
There's no vacation. We're always grinding. That's
always
what it is.
Do you even turn off notifications on your phone? Post-window? Do you give yourself
how many unread texts do you have normally?
None, because I'm psychotic. I'm task-based. So if I see a text, that's a task in my head. And just for my job, I have to read and open all of these things. But yeah, no. The only way I can stay away from my phone is if I turn it off and put it in a drawer somewhere.
Do you ever do that?
I try to. I really do. And I'm getting a little bit better at it. But then there's always somebody from the West Coast. I might call you later.
This is important information to know how to just absolutely tank your life. It's 2 a.m. on a Saturday night. I'm getting home from the studio. I'm just going to start texting you random questions. Task-based Tom. He's got to answer. He's got to do something. We're going to do watchability rankings on this show to look ahead to match day 9. It's incredible. We're already there. Talk about our top 2,222 players and give you a little snippet from the Kevin Prettis interview on MLSsoccer.com. Of course, he's in the Bundesliga, AF Wolfsburg. Some good stuff from our guy, Jonathan Siegel. And we'll get into the mailbag and give you Sporting KC supporters your time.
Look at how I match the back screen, though.
Yeah.
Look how perfectly my color scheme is.
So, One Planet kits are out. You may have seen. We're all wearing them here. Jerseys made with Prime Blue, a high-performance recycled material made in part with Parley Ocean plastic. You can get them at MLSsoccer.com, MLSstore.com.
We're not talking about New Jersey.
Is the spot there. On that front, how do you guys feel about sharks? Sharks have been the theme of the week in Major League Soccer. Inter Miami, of course, swam with sharks, took photos with sharks. That's how they promoted these jerseys.
They have done the best shoot with this every single year that they've been in the league. I guess it makes sense because they're in Miami, but I don't know. Next year, we should get ourselves involved in that.
Are you scared of sharks?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to.
I don't like going in the ocean. I don't like being in any ecosystem where I'm not at the top of the food chain. So, yeah.
Do you swim anywhere?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? Pools?
Yeah, if it's not... No, ponds, David.
Do you swim in lakes?
I go jump in Newtown Creek every now and again.
I swim
in super fun sites. Yeah. I really, you know...
I got a lot of algae. Big algae.
There are two types of human beings in the world. There's lake people and ocean people. What are you?
I'm a pool person.
Oh, cool. So you're not relevant.
I'm a pool person.
Yeah?
Ocean. I live on the beach.
I'm a lake person.
I'm not gonna lie.
I'm irrationally nervous in open water
and oceans. It's gross.
Yes, I agree, but I'm less scared. I remember when we went to Recife in Brazil. I think I mispronounced algae Recife. As well.
Yes.
And every single beach you go to, there's a huge sign that has a big red circle with a line through it, and it's people swimming, and it has a shark next to it. And Nick Fershaw's idea with content was that I was going to go swimming there. We had already tried to get me to swim with the pink dolphins
in
the Amazon.
Which are kind of gross.
Yo, that is for sure gross.
Yeah. They are weird.
I was willing to do that. I was willing to do the pink dolphins, though I was terrified. And thankfully, like, we ran late. We couldn't do it. We had to go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm not a shark. Like, any ocean, I'm doing research ahead of time. Like, it's an issue. I want to raise my kids to not have the same fear that I do.
Fear of the ocean.
But I don't know how to do it because I still can't, like... go into the ocean without feeling a little nervous.
You just toss him in with Uncle Tom down at Asbury Park. It's a beautiful beach.
Come on down to the beach, baby. Yeah. I love this show so much.
Tom,
it's been incredible.
Wearing the jacket with the mustache. I just wouldn't do the whole thing.
Oh,
you gotta wait 30 minutes after you eat the moss, otherwise you're gonna get a tummy. It's good stuff. It's good. Yeah, I'm scared of oceans. It's true.
Recife was scary because it's literally a city built to protect you from sharks.
Yeah,
that part's a little
scary.
No,
it is not a place to you don't swim there.
Well, you do. You just go in the protected areas.
I didn't know those existed.
That's literally the point. That's the point of the sign.
Nick did not take me to any of those areas. He took me to the other beaches and was like, this is where we're doing this bit. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't think it'll happen for me. All right, let's get to the most important part of the show. That's the Golden Boot Draft Update. We do not know who's in first place, though it was very tight last time, all with one goal. Andres puts it in our Google Doc, but he highlights black over all of it so that we cannot see. So I will unveil now who's in first. And sadly, it is Tom/Kalen in first with 23 goals. Hani Mukhtar not even rolling, just 2 goals. Brandon Vasquez doing nearly nothing in front of net. Getting his goals from Jesus Ferreira, Denny Bawanga, Lucas Zelarayan, and Martin Ojeda, I guess, with 2. But Shaqiri hasn't done anything, and yet you're in first. Brenner, tough pick for you. You probably knew he was going to get sold. You still took him.
Yeah, because I got him in like the 8th or 9th round.
Tom, I'm not going to lie.
Value.
Your number one selection is Jesus Ferreira, who was your carryover from last year.
No, Hani was the carryover.
Oh, okay, then good job. Because I was going
to
say.
I look at this team, I don't think it's lasting for Tom.
You guys are talking a lot of smack for the first place
team. No, this is analysis. This isn't smack, right?
Joel came at me immediately in the group chat following the draft, and it wasn't I'm going to win. It was
you roasted
your team
me.
Is crap.
You roasted me for taking Duncan Maguire in the 8th round.
No.
Duncan Maguire in the 8th round, and he has twice as many goals as the bum you took
times.
In the 8th.
2 times.
Hey, man. He
Math.
Doubled him up.
I roasted you for watching. Your analysis is based on one
they're
single
both, they're
Orlando
both starting.
New England
they're both
star- preseason game.
They're both starting. They're both
you
starting.
You said that
well,
about
Duncan
the
Giacomo Rioni.
Duncan Maguire doesn't start.
Oh, he's back in the starting lineup this weekend. I guarantee it.
Because of the way he worked that ball off the crossbar, off his body and in.
Got to be in the right place at the right time to put goal the ball in the back of the
Did
net.
Did anybody take Brian White?
No,
we're talking about body finishers. Brian White, he's among the
that should have been my system pick. The Shaqiri one was after Doyle went with Duncan Maguire, after Goss went with Derek Etienne, I felt like I had to go with somebody for the brand, and it should have been New Jersey Mariel Gomez instead of Shaqiri.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll say that.
All right, in second place, David Goss,
slow burn, sitting where we want them. We are Philly Union, of 2022.
It is. It's a three goal gap.
Losing me on a tiebreaker.
Three goal gap between first and second here. Dave is. Let's see who's doing it for you. Julian Carranza starting to heat up.
Jordan Morris,
Daniel Gosdog.
I can't even see my team. I just
Cucho has given you nothing, and you're still here.
Don't even need it. We're
David's
a team.
Got a solid team.
Everyone carries and Lewis Morgan are looking a little bit questionable.
Lewis
Johnny
Morgan
Russell
seems like a tough one. It's been a tough year, Lewis Morgan. Yeah,
Rui Diaz just starting to get going, but Jordan Morris, man, that was a nice pick. Good pick there.
You're
already
welcome.
One goal more than
also
last.
I got two goals from Philly this weekend. I'm just waiting for CCL to be over. And I'm not even playing yet. You know what I mean? Like, we're
That's
not
right.
even trying.
That's right. That's right. You're like Jim Curtin. Like, it's all about CCL right now. We'll
still
focus on the
place.
League at a later
yeah,
date.
Still
a
second
later,
place.
Later date. Okay. Somebody's already highlighted this, so they know. It is Doyle, unfortunately for me, unfortunately for Doyle, in third. So, Doyle, you've fallen down the pecking order here, but you're just one back of Dave and, mm-hmm. and four back of Tom here.
Willie Agata's had a big year.
Willie's been tough.
Joseph Martinez, designated player Sergio Cordova.
He got injured.
Well, you know, hey, availability is skill.
Availability is the number one
ability.
Yeah.
It's a skill. Let's see. Joseph Martinez. We don't know if that's going to turn on. Dan Jovlich had his opportunity in the starting lineup. He may have lost.
Gabby Pereira game. In the last round, though, and then Klaus second
yeah,
to last round.
Yeah, those are good.
The win
those
right
good,
there.
Yeah, that's a good round.
And then it went Vrioni, McGuire, Klaus, and Gabby Pereira, my last four picks. I'm going to wager that they will end up with more goals than David's first four picks.
Who are my first four?
Gazdag, Cucho, Bernardeschi, and Rui Diaz.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's quite
okay,
a,
cool.
That's quite a... that's yeah. a gambit.
It's funny because you keep stretching to include Vrioni in this whole thing where it's like you sound good by like McGuire, Klaus, Gabby Pereira, last three great picks. You keep stretching to get Vrioni in there, and I think that's going to be your undoing. I think Vrioni is going to get outscored by everyone on my list, and I'm going to end up winning. And if you had just held it to top three versus bottom three, you would potentially win this.
Yeah, I mean, Rui Diaz versus Vrioni, it's fair.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty confident.
I'm not out of touch here at 18 goals, you know, as the defending champion, anything can happen. And I
saw
also
Romel at the game on Saturday.
Did you?
Yeah. Wearing a very nice turtleneck and jacket. Didn't play, but looked
nice.
Aces.
Sick. Yakumakis is hurt. So that's dope. He's really fueling me here. Carlos Vela says he can be better. That's an encouraging sign. Diego Rubio is back. Tyus Magno's playing on the wing.
This is the most weeby team ever. Is this is such a name
the
brand.
Enzo Capetti pick. I'm pretty regretful of.
Really?
Fourth overall. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be, I needed him in that position
I think that's
to
a
be
good
a
pick.
15 goal scorer. I don't think it's going to,
I mean, there. I think he'll end up with 10, 12. Like you have much worse picks. You have much worse picks.
Insigne fifth was a rough one.
Insigne fifth because he's not going to play 2,000 minutes. That's
yeah,
a bad
gone
one.
With just a
Kyoto is the worst one, right? Like Montreal lost all of their talent this offseason. They have a new coach who's not as good.
Do you blame me for that, or is it?
Well, here's
is it because I sat next to the biggest. Montreal is going to be just
here's
fine
the one thing
in
though.
The world.
Kyoto, so you're saying he just, got you in the way he got me last year with Estrada?
Correct.
You got to take Michael Estrada. That's a World Cup starter.
He planted
starter.
The seed, and I don't remember the episode, but he was probably like, "Man, if I could get Kyoto here."
You realize Montreal have scored in one game
Correct.
This year,
and two one of those were game. After the 90th minute, and the other yeah. one was a PK. Yeah.
Also, Kyoto's
and
always
after
hurt.
A red card as well.
Correct.
Kyoto's also always hurt, so that's kind of
and yeah. he in last year was like by far his best,
and he was
goal
still hurt.
I don't think he'd ever scored more than 8 goals in a season. He's 32. He's hurt.
He literally spent the last half of the year just. Tired. Yeah. They were like, why is he out? Oh, because he played
who scores
lot.
More, Leo Campana or Joseph Martinez? Both on zero. I have Campana.
Definitely Campana.
And
I think they
Doyle
were both,
Joseph.
Both
I think
bad
I think
additions.
I mean, either way, they were both pretty bad picks.
You think Joseph will score goals?
I do.
You think he'll keep starting?
Yeah, I mean, Neville really wants a 4-4-2. And from what I've heard, there were personal issues that made it difficult for Joseph to be fully fit entering the season. So I think as soon as Miami add a playmaker, and Joseph still knows where the goal is. He scored 10 goals last year. He scored 12 the year before that. And that was when he was unhappy.
Yeah.
No.
Personal issues is why I'm not fit, by the way.
But we're on the RJ Barrett method. We're working ourselves into shape as the season goes along.
What's the worst pick here? What's the number one worst pick anybody made?
It might be Willie Agata at the number two.
I'll do it to myself. Yeah. It's hard to argue against Shaqiri.
I right now.
But at least it was the last pick.
At least it was the last pick. Yeah.
No, and sorry, you know we're looking at this incorrectly because the first pick on each team was the carryover.
Was the keeper.
Willie Agata was your first pick of this year.
Yeah.
That's the worst pick.
It was a brand pick. I don't understand why it has all gone so bad for Sporting Kansas City so quick this year. When you look at how they played down the stretch, they were creating chances. And Peter Vermes is saying, like, well, it's tough to be a good team when you don't have your, you know, your DP number 9 and your DP number 10. And he's not wrong, but you also did not have your DP number 9 and DP number 10 down the stretch last year. You went 6-3-1. You were scoring 2 goals a game. You were constantly generating good chances. I don't know why it's different now. They look terrible. And Agata's got to shoulder some blame because he's missed chances and he's just not as dynamic. You look at his movement. I mean, he's not the same guy that he was. And it's a bummer because he was a joy to watch second half of last season.
They also had Russell at the end of last year.
They have him back now, man.
Yeah, but Agata's already on the... Russell came back. I think they played like one game where they
both started. Russell? That was a pretty bad pick. Yeah, oh, David Goss has Johnny
Russell. I 100% agree. And Lewis Morgan. Both of those were bad picks. But Russell was second to last round.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about how you think that Lewis Morgan's an MVP candidate this year?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Lewis Morgan told me he was going to take his game to the next level. Weeby's golfing with him in New Jersey.
Not yet, we haven't.
Going in the right direction.
Would like to.
I mean,
it sounds like
associating with Andrew Weeby is maybe what drove him into the slump.
His ankles are hurting just off Andrew's presence.
That's fair. But the flip side is, like, previously, last year, it was a good sign by the way, the Weeby team.
David is absolutely annihilating my Willie Agata pick with my first pick. Who was his first pick? How many goals that guy have?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I think Cucho will be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you think he's going to get his starting job back from Christian Ramirez?
Yes, 100%.
Who was the best keeper?
Has Christian Ramirez scored yet? He scored one?
He's got 3 goals, I think.
Does he?
Jeremy Obobese was a pretty good keeper pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty happy with that one. Yeah. Though it would look, if we had done this last week, I wouldn't.
It wouldn't look not as.
Can we
as
go
good.
Back in time when I was debating between last year picking Mason Toy or Jeremy Obobese, and I picked Toy. He got Obobese, and now that's his keeper, and the guy's going to be in the Golden Boot
race. Tough break for you. Yeah, tough break. Should we be doing an additional pick after the summer window? Do we want to just hold strong here?
We want to add guys after the next window.
For sure. Okay, if you have suggestions. Let us know. Anders,
we should
is
have
going
some form.
Anders just showed up in our ears saying, "I'll come up with a new allocation mechanism or player acquisition mechanism."
I would, get creative with that.
I think we should sort of follow the like Suni Saad, Perry Marasovic method allocating players.
Yeah,
it's a throwback.
Those are
for
some.
You.
That, yeah.
Wow.
Man.
What?
Go Wolverines!
Apparently, Suni Saad is the man in Lebanon too.
Also, I think he's been in Thailand for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's been in Thailand.
I feel
just scoring goals from 40
yards. We should go cover Suni Saad.
The title of this episode is probably going to be about the transfer window closing soon. And I'm just imagining the fan that's listening to this going like, oh, man, can't wait to hear some transfer news. Can't wait to get ready for the weekend. And we're like 45 minutes in about our Golden Boot draft and whatever that was. I love this show.
I am
so
imagining
much.
Legions of people listening to this, just smiling ear to ear.
Skipping ahead 30 seconds at a time.
Oh, my God.
Sicko army. This is all that they could possibly care about is the update to our Golden Boot draft, which they were locked in for the second.
Well, now we get to talk about it even longer, apparently, because now we're going to pick our MLS squad pick.
Oh, yeah. No. Look at that. Transitioning to us.
Incredible.
Now, listen. MLS squad pick, MLSsoccer.com/gaming. Free to play games. Go check them out. It's a lot like the Golden Boot draft, just week to week. You pick 5 players you think are going to score in the same match day. If you get all 5 right, you win. And there are small prizes you can win every single week. But the big one is $10,000. And you just have to play it one time. You're entered into a random drawing at the end of the year for that grand prize. MLSsoccer.com/gaming. Make me a guarantee from each of your teams who is scoring this weekend.
Do we have to do it from our team or can we pick other people's
teams?
No,
you got to go from your own team.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I know that limits it for you.
Well, I was going to pick Obobese. So that's why I was asking.
No, you go first, David.
Well, I'll say Jeremy.
Mason Toy.
Wow. Yeah, Mason Toy. Wow. I'll go Jordan Morris, even coming off the national team against Minnesota at home. I helped preview that match. You could watch that preview on Apple TV, by the way, MLS Season Pass.
You may have heard it.
But if you look at the last game, it was two goals, back post runs for Orlando, where Minnesota fell asleep. And so whether it's Roldan and Morris or Chu and Morris, I think there's those openings there out wide. So I'll say Jordan Morris. Plus, if he plays for the national team, coming off with a little bit of confidence.
Okay. All right. Who you got, Doyle?
Willie Agata, obviously. Oh.
You think he's going to start?
He's going to come on for the final 25 minutes against the Revs. Sporting will be down 4-0.
We're just trying to prime the pump for old Willie.
Willie's going to get a consolation goal.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Living the dream.
I'll go Brandon Vasquez at home against Portland Timbers.
His second goal of the year?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about him maybe in the transfer segment as well. That's coming right up. I am scraping around here.
What were you hoping that I was going to filibuster?
Yeah, sure. I'm not super confident in anybody.
Enzo Capetti at home against Columbus. Columbus will open up. They'll go for it. Charlotte has scored, especially at home.
They've scored. That's
saying they're putting up goals. It's not like they're sitting 18 deep and whatever. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, because I can't trust. I'll go Mikaura, but they're probably not going to play him ahead of Champions League, or maybe not. TBD on
Giacomakis
that one.
And Giacomakis sounds unlikely.
Probably out. Yeah. I'm going to jump on the. In LA, I'm going Driussi.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Thompson's got it.
I think it's
going.
Good that you went away from a guy on a team playing at home scoring to a guy on a team that hasn't scored in 2 weeks, but going back on the road to LA where they got shut out 2 weeks ago.
Hey, go with your gut. Go with your gut. And Andrew says he has the field, and he's claimed Christian.
Wait,
Espinoza.
I thought he put together a specific like roster.
You missed that. He says he's going to reveal it at the end of the year, which is it's very convenient. All right, it is time to talk transfers with the only man we would ever talk transfers with and trust. It's not entirely true, but for your brand, we will say that. There's other people,
and we move.
Yes, and we move. Transfer window is about to close. The primary transfer window in Major League Soccer, which means that moves within the league can still happen, trades, what have you, as well as transfers from outside the league, and those would get a little more complicated. But let's start with the Brenner transfer to Udinese. This had been rumored for a little while, Tom. What do you know?
Yeah, so the deal is being finalized. I've reported last week that a $10 million transfer plus add-ons plus a sell-on percentage. Udinese wanted to get this wrapped up. Now I reported that they had a bid. They were the first team to make an official bid in January for Brenner, and that didn't happen. Then Nottingham Forest kind of came in late and didn't get it over the line before the deadline. So now Udinese, I've kind of sorted this deal. So he'll go in the summer. It's going to be $10 million, and Brenner will stay with Cincinnati until the summer. Again, it's all been, you know, signed, everything pending a medical, and you know, obviously there's no worries that something will be tripped up there.
Did something change from January then? Did Udinese's offer go up? Did anything specific change?
Yeah, the offer went up a little bit, and again, like since we were hoping to hold on to him for a little bit longer, and it makes sense that now they have more time. Again, they were already planning for his eventual departure. This isn't news to them. There's no surprise, but it gives them another half season to get ready to hopefully hit the ground running in the summer window with a deal for another DP. It would have to be a young DP to replace Brenner. So that's kind of their goal. And again, for half of the season, the core of last year's team that was so good, the core of the start of the season that has started so well, by points, they still haven't gotten their kind of top gear in terms of performance, particularly attacking, but they're all intact going into the summer. So their belief is that this won't cost them any points in the supporters' shield race, and they'll kind of be able to transition smoothly out of the Brenner era.
Remind me, Brenner's initial transfer fee is right around this or just a tad more than this?
Yeah, the complexities here is that his fee was $13 million. That's what they cost to get him. This was not a deal done by the front office. This was not Brenner's fault that he was overvalued. It was a panic move by Cincinnati in the previous regime that were trying to shake things up and keep their jobs. It didn't happen. What I was told the summer before Brenner was signed, he was being offered around MLS, where the idea was a loan with a purchase obligation or triggers for like $7 million, and they bought him for $13 million. So it wasn't just a little bit of an overpay. So the way that I look at it is...
I would just love to play poker against Gerard Nykamp. I would love to play poker with that guy.
like the bus just being backed over those previous regimes.
Yeah, right, and look, and like I know that it's
he just didn't know about conversion rates.
For what it's worth, seven is a higher number than
he
I
thought he was spending $13 million heials. He didn't realize they were dollars.
But so I think my larger point is that like and I think we get too obsessed with making turning a profit in transfer. You want a transfer because you bought somebody for cheaper and then you sold them for more. I wouldn't be beholden to that $13 million figure because. Just, and again, I go back to what I heard from another GM, and again, I'm going to, you know, run over the previous Cincy regime. Another GM was trying to trade for another center back, and he starts the conversations with teams like, look, the value, like whatever Cincy's trades were at to start their expansion season, that's not the benchmark. We're throwing those away. You can talk about other deals, and that's what we'll work off of, but if you think that's how I'm valuing players, I'm not, and we should stop talking now. So again, it was... Everything's contextual, and again, it's not Brenner's fault that he was signed for more, and it's not the kind of current regime's fault that he was signed for more. And if they were desperate to just were only selling him for more than we acquired him for, he would not be sold.
Yeah,
that does mean, however, that they're not going to get allocation money, recoup out like generate allocation money off of the deal. However, right, because you have to recoup all of your initial acquisition costs.
Yeah,
so it may not be like. Oh, hey, don't judge Chris Albright, obviously, on this deal. But at the same time, in selling him, it's not like there are assets coming back into Cincinnati, though it seems like that doesn't matter to the ownership in terms of reallocating money to go buy another young DP.
Yeah, and again, that's the idea. I'm curious. I'm going to assume that it'll be a center forward. Again, I'd imagine that their planning had been like for like in this slot, knowing, you know, looking out in the future, projecting who might be going, who might be staying. But they do have a U22 initiative slot open, and they did... kind of go out of their way to they Isaac Katongo was on loan until the summer. They ended that loan and sold him permanently earlier this month or late in March. So that opened a U22 initial slot immediately. So maybe that there could be something that happens there over the next whatever few days, however long it takes until Monday. So again, maybe if you use that on a center forward, does that change the math for the young DP spot? They're trying to re-sign Lucho Acosta to a long-term deal. He's got a team option for 2024. I'm not reporting this with inside knowledge or anything, but I think they're going to pick up that option regardless of a contract. So they don't have to worry about Lucho for 18 months. Again, we might talk about Brandon Vasquez next. That's in flux. So I'm very curious to see what they use these two high leverage mechanisms for.
So either way, no matter what the numbers are, you have to chalk this up as a huge win for the current regime to sell him at this number, because there was a time when forget $7 million, forget $10 million. He was like a...
yeah.
Skyline level bust
in April of last year. If they were like, screw it, I want the DP spot, it would have been a free loan to a Brazilian club and then like a $4 million purchase option. Yeah,
just to rehabilitate his value. Yes. Was a
yep.
Massive
yes win. And again, we're talking about these in financials, and I want to make sure that we always get brought back to the field. He had 18 goals and 8 assists last year. He was integral to them making their first playoff game and advancing the like it's not just we turned a profit or we didn't turn a profit. Like, what's the value for his two seasons here? What's the value for now their next young DP target? If it's a Brazilian player, if it's a South American player, hey, look what we did with Brenner.
Yeah.
Now he's at Udinese. Like, it's not just, you know, raw numbers. It's a guy who kind of came in. I forget if, was he best 11 last year or like one of those? I don't think
he was
exactly.
He wasn't best
Vasquez
11.
Vasquez was.
Yeah.
Okay. Vasquez so, but he, best 11? He was still.
No, it was Chicharito and Ferreira.
Because the only way we could, yeah. Best 11 had 9 number 10s and 4 yeah. Center forwards. I don't know if he got in there. But he was one of the best forwards in the league last year. So again, it's not just, they took a loss, air quote, on the transfer fees.
Are we done with the Brenner era already?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
He'll be here in June. I believe it's the beginning of June rather than the end of June, but the idea is he'll still
is
be here.
Is he back training with the team? Is he...
He's not training this week, no. But he still hasn't completed all of that stuff.
Yeah, he's still finalizing.
So there's still an excuse for why he wouldn't be training. That makes sense, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
We will see what happens after that, though, right?
Yeah. How many more games do you think Brenner plays?
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're Cincinnati, part of you given...
If I was anyone associated with Sergio Santos,
would you just be like, hey, let's look to the future?
I would not play Brenner again, and I would not want to play if I was Brenner. Like, everything is about the next move. Like, if you're FC Cincinnati, the other piece of this is, assumption is there is a level of sell-on. So, like, his value to you now, okay, some of the points in the standings, but is also, like, can he land at Udinese in a good spot, and can he move on from there? Also, as you said, you have Sergio Santos, you have Don Baggi. Like, you've set up the runway off of him, and maybe it's easier to do it now than it is in the summer. What's really interesting to me when you talk about all those positions and the potential to make moves is their biggest weakness is losing Lucho Acosta to any sort of injury. There is no space in the team for another guy like Lucho. So do you spend the money on a replacement? And is that replacement even going to be good enough if Lucho's out? So does it not even matter? And I think there's a calculus in there, whether it's the under 22 spot or the young DP spot, where I think it's going to be tough for them to manage. Because if you bring in an under, you know, a young DP who's a 10, Lucho's going to say, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
While negotiating a contract.
I would be surprised about that. I mean, I guess it's with, I don't know any of this for certain or not, but I'm assuming the young DP will be a forwarder. I'm like, so to your point, maybe it's a second striker type of player, maybe a little bit more creative because Brenner is more of a off the shoulder number nine. He does a lot in terms of defensive pressure and he can play link up and stuff, but he's more of like a classic number nine and running behind finished goals. So maybe it's a more creative type of forward. But again, those combo type forwards are very expensive and they're very hard to find. So I'm not sure how you solve this problem. I think that they believe Barrial is push comes to shove. God forbid we need a backup number 10 because Lucho's hurt. It's probably Barrial, or maybe they hope that Angulo can show more. But again, I think he's more of a box.
He's more
box
of an eight, though,
so like
yeah.
That's. Are they, but again, in a pinch. But and going back to Monday show too, like,
like a good listener.
Yeah, I was this like Monday show.
If we're a good listener.
If we're talking about, if the team's best player MVP is hurt, there is no backup plan for anybody. And like, so I'm not sure how much time that you even spend in a roster building way on that.
Are they married to this sort of formation? Given that Brenner's going, Vasquez could be potentially going, is talking about things of that nature publicly. Like, is the 3-5-2 with the wingbacks and two forwards up top and Lucho underneath, is that what they're married to? Or because when you talk about the transfer policy, like, that's where you start to think, okay, where are you plugging them in? How flexible is it? Because we're not talking about wingers here,
yeah,
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, so the other formation would be the 4-4-2 tight diamond that we see Philly running. And I believe that's what Pat Noonan played in the first third of the season last year. Doyle, tell me.
No, it was a 4-2-3-1.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, but that was kind of the idea. Their first idea was to go to the 4-4-2 diamond, or that's what we're working towards. And then the 3-5-2 worked so well, and I think it still fits this group perfectly, and I wouldn't deviate from it. But if they have a second pitch to add to their fastball, it's probably the 4-4-2 tight diamond. So it remains the same. You're just changing a center back for a shuttler in central midfield.
What about Brandon Vasquez?
I'd be shocked if they agreed to a deal for him to leave in the summer, because I don't know what that what the number would have to be for them to be like, this is too good to pass down. What I could see happening is they agree a deal in the summer for the winter. If I had to guess, I'd assume that'd be the best outcome for all parties, because as you said, Vasquez has talked about it. He wants to go to Europe, and this is kind of the right time for him in his own mind, even though they just signed a contract extension last summer. So since he probably don't feel rushed, but Borussia Mönchengladbach, all that's real. Like, their front office was in Nashville when they were playing Nashville. Like, they've met with Cincy. There hasn't been an official bid, but it is clear, like, heavy, heavy interest. And again, I understand if you're Mönchengladbach or any team that's interested in Brandon Vasquez, if you're spending whatever money, so again, they rejected a $7 million bid for Chivas. So let's call it $10 million or give or take. If you're spending that much money on a player in his prime, you absolutely want him right now in the summer. But my assumption is since you're going to go into those negotiations with, it's non-negotiable. We can talk now for a winter move, but he's not leaving now. Again, this is all, I can't imagine that they would allow both of the starting center forwards to leave this summer. But again, the winter is my... If I had to place a wager on it, it'd be that he leaves in the winter. Whether they agree the deal in the summer or not, I think that's where the eyes are.
Interesting. Okay. I think we've, some news with Cincinnati there. Let's keep.
Well, but just to throw out, like, we had this conversation. I think you picked them to win Supporters Shield, right? But like, this was always part of it.
Yeah.
Which was, this was a team that is in multiple lanes at the same time. They probably came back faster than they expected under Chris Albright and Pat Noonan. So then they accelerated into this conversation. But in the Brenner situation, is like, they had to get this value for it, because you talked about how well he played, what he brought for them. There is no more there. And so we kind of always knew they were going to be playing sort of on both of these angles. And we don't really have a great example of that being successful in MLS. I guess LAFC last year is the closest we have of, like, they sold Brian Rodriguez throughout the year. They made a ton of moves, but they had more to work with going into that. Chris Albright's getting there. Getting off Brenner, like at this deal, getting off, I understand wrong term, but like to recoup that means like he's starting at zero now when he started behind when he took over, and now they've got assets and all these things, and how much they're going to make on Vasquez. Like that's the money that they lost on Brenner is what they make up in Brandon Vasquez coming in an allocation trade. And now you're talking about $10 million. Like that's the type of money that you can manage off of. I don't know that they can win supporter shield though while making all these moves.
But but why not? Brenner has, again, I think he's a very good player and very important to this team. The attack hasn't been great and they're still picking up all these points. You were talking about why would you even play Brenner if you have Sergio Santos at this point with the transfer going, which I pretty vehemently disagree with. I'd play Brenner until he leaves. But like it's not like they're barren. And I get that, particularly with a young DP, you can't have unreasonable expectations that they're going to come in on day one and be great. Like if they are, that's awesome, but you cannot be planning for that. So there's going to be a transition period, but that's why you still have Lucho Costa and Brandon Vasquez in the attack. It doesn't like, it matters less who the third person is, and it makes it easier for that third person to fit in, to get their feet wet. Again, whether it's Sergio Santos or Don Baggi's getting games, or it's a young DP or U20 initiative player, you still start with Lucho and Vasquez, and that's a really strong starting point.
I'm just sad that Kalen Carr is not here, given that we've mentioned Don Baggi many times.
What about Ray Gattis? Ray Gattis is still on the roster.
Okay, we're going to get there. Don't worry.
I also would like to say to Kalen, one of the biggest Brooklyn Nets fans in the world, like we're here for you, and I know fully committed to the cause. So we got you, Kalen.
Speaking of all this, sort of the, hey, we got good. Now we have players with interest from overseas, and we're selling them. We have the transition. We have the shining light in the midst of all of it, the Revs. You know, they went through this, you know, had players they sold in the winter, whether it was Buxa, who we'll talk about in a little bit, or
this is Dejan, a wild or, tweet that this was yeah, second or, in this rundown. Yeah, that's what I was laughing at with you. You're or like, oh my God, everyone thinks they're getting good stuff. Now they're in here talking Suni Saad. This first tweet you put in the rundown transfer segment is about Ben Sweat.
All right. We got our sweat on. We're ready. We're warmed up. So Sam Minton hits us up. He does some
Shout
good
out
stuff.
To Sam.
In New England, must follow to get this league in this totality. Says, can you talk about the Revs getting Ben Sweat? And then ask Mr. Scoops about what he's hearing about DeJuan Jones. So we've talked about them getting Ben Sweat. Obviously, Casey cut him. They picked him up. It's a depth move, a veteran, a move you might make if maybe DeJuan Jones could be moved in the summer.
I don't have anything to say about them signing Ben Sweat. But with DeJuan Jones...
If DeJuan Jones goes somewhere and their idea is to replace him with Ben Sweat...
Yeah, this isn't a corresponding move in my mind. This is what I'm saying.
This is just like, let's get a left-footed, left back, third string, second string, maybe, to soak up a couple of minutes this year.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So for DeJuan Jones, like, the interest last summer was real. Stuttgart, there's Anderlecht, there's teams that in like Belgium or Netherlands. Like, I think that DeJuan, he's happy in New England, obviously. He'd be open to move to Europe. It's not just I'm going to jump at anything. I'm not even sure that Anderlecht interested him all that much, which I was a little bit surprised at. But a Bundesliga move, I think, would do it. And it depends on what those offers come in. Like the Stuttgart one, an offer never really came because they were expected to sell their starting left back. And I don't think it ever happened. I'm not super locked into what Stuttgart is up to at the moment. So I don't know if they ever have
it. Tom, check
but
your
this was, this was the, like... That's kind of the dominoes that'll happen. And this is what kind of happened with Kai Wagner, where like these players are absolutely good enough, but is, you know, this team needs to sell this player who needs to buy that. And then that's how these shake out for the players in their kind of range.
Domino.
Yeah. And again, like they're not at the top of the food chain.
What? Was that already said?
No, but you said it like it was such a deep term.
No, I just was thinking about what he said.
Stay with me here. Domino effect. So again, DeJuan, He's somebody who I could see going to the Bundesliga, but again, it just depends on where the interest was.
Domino.
If I don't hear you guys,
we lost Gus.
Oh my God, I can't breathe.
If that's not something that is just said at random times in the show throughout the next 5 years, then I failed. Is that all you have on DeJuan Jones?
Yes. Do we talk about Ben Sweat again?
About Ben Sweat more.
All right. So you put a nice rundown on MLSsoccer.com with four teams you think could make a move before the end of the window. NYCFC, Houston Dynamo, LA Galaxy, and DC United. Let's run through those. NYCFC, Bjorn Bellenbaum hits us up and says, talk about the new NYCFC striker. I don't know if we've sort of conjured this from Doyle's column where he's like, hey, U22 spot, they can do it. Like, is that real? Is something happening?
I would like to hear more about how nice you thought my article was.
It was a great article.
Thank you very much.
It's a must read.
Yeah. It's more, I think, of me and Doyle reading the tea leaves than me and Doyle knowing who this
I have nothing at Henley CFC. They're a black box.
Well, like, you talk to Pep once a week.
Right.
He's not focused on it.
We give each other, you know,
hairstyling
on Bic.
Doyle,
you guys wear the same sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Doyle wrote a joke in his column. He just deduced all of the, and things that I agree with, and he's spot on. He ended it with, "What all I'm saying is you should have Tommy Scoops' notifications turned on." And since
which was the only fact in all of it, I think.
Since we published that column, there's so many NYCFC fans. My manager's like, "Oh, it's Thursday it's Tuesday at 2:11 p.m. and Tom hasn't announced anything. Tom, what do you know? What do you know? What's going on?" And I was like, "What? What happened here?" Yeah. Like, I read it too.
The idea is that NYCFC, who have been very good and very aggressive about using that global CFG scouting group, they've been very good at finding talented young South Americans and bringing
them really good to
the Bronx. And they opened up. They already had one U22 slot open. They opened up another by loaning out
Domino's.
Domino.
I was waiting for an opening. I wasn't even listening.
I thought we could at least get to like 20 minutes. I was like, just wait for the right moment. Oh, you do it in the right moment.
Would you argue what you deduced were the dominoes?
The domino effect of loaning Thiago Andrade.
Like,
and right now they have a kid by the name of Gabe Siegel playing center forward, and he was like a decent college.
But if you pronounce it Seagal, he improves.
No, he does not.
And again, what you wrote in your column, the best part about him is it allows Talis Magno to play left wing. It's great.
And he's very good in the press. Yep. You know, he clearly knows the rotations to hit, and
true
that matters
Stanford
a lot
kid.
To yes. To,
he's
to
clearly
Nick
an
Cushing.
MLS like quality player.
Yeah.
We didn't know that 100% when he was signed.
Right.
But he's clearly
what he
a
is not, player. I don't think, is a goal scorer. And like, okay, you can live with a, you know, 8 or 9 goal a year type of center forward if you have really elite wingers and midfielders, and I think they do. But like, even 8 or 9 might be a little bit beyond him. And what I have deduced, and the domino effect of loaning Thiago Andrade out, is that like, I expect NYCFC is doing something. I think there's going to be some sort of $3 or $4 million Brazilian, Uruguayan, 19-year-old striker who comes in by Monday, and that's why I have Tom's Twitter notifications flicked on.
That
on
is
my
the
phone.
Domino effect.
That's it.
I'm just gonna start tweeting about the Knicks.
We
so
got
everybody
it.
Who have my notifications on are like, Jesus.
How do you
Christ.
Feel about the first two games? David's like, it's
we got the split,
money.
Baby. That's
it's
all we
fine.
Needed.
Yeah,
got the split.
Okay.
All right. Sorry. Back. Already done enough digression. But yeah. So NYCFC. David Lee told me this at the end of the 2021 season about the U22 initiative, their sporting director. This was clear for us. It was going to be the strategy. There was never any consideration to add 2 senior DPs because we knew we wanted to add 3 players in the U22 initiative category. We firmly believed it'd be a help long-term building a strong roster for this year and years to come. I've spoken to other sporting directors who have said just flat out to me, again, whether they're big spending clubs, air quote, or small spending clubs, it's like, I don't know why all teams don't use all 3 U22 initiative slots just from a budget standpoint. So NYCFC are in that firm belief. So it would be surprising if they went into the summer with 2 open spots rather than 1. And again, like you said, Gabe Siegel's the only natural center forward on the roster.
Yeah.
And they've pushed away from
having the Talis Magno thing did not work.
Yeah. And but we were saying this for over the past year. Like, and again, at least that it seems like they're kind of realizing that. And I would assume that they're into whether they get a deal done or not.
And just to explain the math of Tom, what Tom just said, for budget reasons, the U22 initiative slots make so much sense because no matter how much you spend on the kid and what you're paying him in salary up to, I think, max.
The senior max.
It hits at $150,000. So if you have all 3 of those slots filled, you're only spending $450,000 against the cap on what are ostensibly 3 very high upside.
$450,000. Brandon Cervania is somebody who makes $450,000.
Right,
like, that's the name that comes. So like, that's,
he's a good player, but it's like
you
can
have 3 of those.
You have 3 of those, and if you're using a young DP as one of the DP slots, that only hits at $200,000. Well, could be a little bit more depending on age. So it's just a way of managing within your roster budget. It's a way of getting more talent in there at a number that gives you flexibility to then go out and spend a ton of GAM and TAM on veterans. And hey, that's what John Thorington has done for LAFC. Everybody's like, how does LAFC always have so much, you know, room under the cap? So much. It's because like a bunch of their best players only hit the cap at 150,000. It's right there in the rule book.
Domino.
I'll be quick on these next ones
before I can ever get started.
We gotta get a an ETR themed domino set, and we gotta go sit out front in Harlem and play. But just the one pushback would be there is a limit to what one of the three DPs can be. They either have to be young or at a low number. So if a team has three robust designated players,
New England,
then they don't have those under 22 spots open to them. It works for them because those three players are really good. So there is other
like
ways.
Giacomo Vrioni, like really,
just
really
absolute game changers. New England, by the way, is also kind of making up for this with some homegrown players that are coming through at this point, and also some guys they picked up in trades. We'll talk about those in a little
classic
bit.
Classic youth developing New England revolution.
I know. Just churning them out. Houston Dynamo. A lot of people asking, including Gooblin HTX, about Houston's plan for the number nine going forward. Are there rumors of Sebas moving? If so, who could we potentially bring in? Right now, Sebas Ferreira, their leading goal scorer in 2022, is not the preference, let's say, of Ben Olsen.
They could use Kai Kamara. There's just one of five teams that could use Kai Kamara.
True.
He plays
for
Chicago.
What would you hear about the Dynamo?
They are working to bring in a U22 initiative attacker in before Monday's deadline. They've been, close isn't the right word, but this has been, they've been targeted. It might come down to the wire. We'll see. Maybe it doesn't get done, but that's kind of their last chip that they want to play right now and then reassess in the summer. I'm not sure, again, if it's going to get done. The last I heard this morning as I was missing a subway because I was too busy doing all the reporting and everything.
Welcome to New York City.
Do you know what I miss is doing it from my living room while we're doing the you don't miss subways there.
Welcome to the city, baby.
But I love
underground. You don't get service down there. Nope.
And that's why I couldn't jump on the train.
Nope.
Anyway, last I heard was that they're getting closer, but it might come down to the wire. So again, that's going to be one that we keep checking in on.
But Tom, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Exactly. How about the Galaxy?
The Galaxy, it's obvious because their restrictions get intensified in the summer, in which they cannot bring in any players from abroad.
Right. They can still make moves for like good, solid starters in MLS on teams above the playoff line. Guys like, say, Dave Romney or Daniel Styris. Guys like that would really help the LA Galaxy.
If you're an opposing GM this summer and the Galaxy come to you and they're like, "Whew, we'd like to trade for this guy," you're like, tack on a couple hundred extra K
I think they come in with the FC Cincinnati trade scale from first year and they go, "Oh, you want this guy? We're on the air haggling
scale. Travel overseas
and
like the other menu is for you." So, you know what I mean?
The conversion rate.
Exactly.
You know what it would be? Domino's.
That's the Domino.
The pizza. The last reports were that they're in talk. That I can confirm, they were in talks with Rapid Vienna for Marco Gruhl is the winger. So I don't know if that deal is going to get done or not, but they're trying to sign a winger. And again, almost definitely from international. We'll see what gets done or not. But like the days are running out. If we had this conversation on March 1st, I would have said, yeah, these exact things, maybe not that exact team, because they were in talks with the Brazilian player who went to Bahia, the City Football Group Brazilian club, but they're working on getting a winger in from the international market.
Do you think Douglas Costa will be on the roster?
Yeah, because there were reports 3 weeks ago that he did pre-red card, so maybe it's changed since then, but there was reports coming out of Brazil that turned out to be erroneous, that he was getting bought out and signing somewhere in Brazil. And I was told that not only is this not true, like we're not having those talks. Again, this was a few weeks ago. Maybe things have changed, but it doesn't look like.
Well, Coachella's second weekend is this weekend, so he has to stick around.
Is he suspended this weekend too? Genuinely,
I think it was.
I don't
one
know
game.
For that violent conduct.
He's going back to the disco.
He made his best effort.
You guys really need to set a precedent and suspend me this
weekend. Yeah, I think Burna Boy's performing this weekend, so you got to get out there.
Wow, that sounds like a good show.
It does sound like a good show.
Yeah, good show. And then after the disappointment, obviously with Frank Ocean, it's like you can't. You gotta go back.
Frank Ocean
in the second weekend.
Yeah.
DC. Vikas Mindereta said, hit us up and said, hey, could they keep O'Brien if Forrest gets relegated? Is there anything? I think I read somewhere that maybe the number goes down to make that permanent if Forrest gets relegated.
Yeah, I've seen that report. I haven't had that confirmed. That'd be interesting subset of that deal. But again, the larger point of while it was an opportunistic deal, short term, help no matter what, you get him in the door and then you hope if it works out for both parties, that you could find a solution for him to stay. Because he wasn't playing with Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest signed about 47 players, and he was one of them, and didn't break in. He wasn't even registered for the Premier League because they had so many people to register. Again, and if he's playing every week here, maybe that there's some wiggle room. If that purchase option is lower, if they get relegated, that'd be really useful for them to fit him under the cap and to fit him with the cap machinations. They are looking to add another player over the next few days. They've been, like, I think Rooney even talked about it in a press conference a couple weeks ago that they were working with targets. Like, I was told they had a few offers out and trying to get a deal over the line. Again, that's going to be one to keep checking in on over the next few days.
Imagine going from Nottingham Forest to cherry blossom season in DC. How could you ever go anywhere else?
Sign the contract right there.
Yeah. That's the pitch.
Yeah.
Anything else in this window before we get retrospective here that's sort of percolating that might be interesting?
Two more. Nashville acquired an international slot today. It's funny. When I was reading the initial report, I thought that they traded it because every time there's a transaction involving an international slot with Nashville, they're trading it. They're getting the allocation money. So they would not be trading for an international spot.
just to have one.
Yeah, just to have it. Just to resell it in the summer if they wanted to, just because they want to keep on moving around. No, so I'm definitely expecting that something.
Why?
Yeah, why would Nashville?
Yeah, and maybe, you know, Gary Smith said that they were thinking about reinforcing in defense after Nick DePuy's injury, sorry. So maybe that's where they're talking about. I don't know.
Oh, my God, that would be amazing. That would be the most Nashville thing.
We had multiple Nashville fans in the mentions for this.
It's going to be a like, USL
give us
center
help,
back.
Give Hani help.
It's going to be an international USL center back.
Yeah, so I want to point out, I'm not saying that for 100% certainty that it is going to be a center back. But again, I will say they didn't trade for an international slot for no reason. So that's a team to watch over the next 2 days. And then one more, the last one, Charlotte. It came out this morning while I was on the subway coming out here that they've had a couple bids rejected by Shamrock Rovers for Irish attacker. Jack Byrne to give their burn count to two. This is a player that they tried to sign him ahead of their expansion season when he was in Cyprus and it wasn't going well. He ended up going back to Shamrock. Christian Latanzio is somebody that knows him and would be kind of pushing for this. They're hopeful that it gets over the line, and it seems like he's out of contract at the end of the season, and the Shamrock Rovers manager is talking about this publicly. It sounds like he's kind of resigned to losing this player. So again, that'll be one to watch.
I would argue currently in the world, you are one of the people who knows, you're one of the top 75 people who knows about the Shamrock Rovers. I don't think anyone goes to those games. I saw this report this morning from the Irish side of like two bids have come in, blah, blah, blah. And it felt like one of those things where you're like, yeah, for sure. Me too. You know? I can't believe we're talking about Shamrock Rovers and not SUNY Saad right now.
And I know his contract status because of Football Manager. He's a good out of contract player to get up to. A good set piece taker, according to FM. I don't know if he's like that in real life though.
All right, let's do the retrospective. Let's
get a close up on Doyle.
Doyle's been checked out of this one for a hot minute right here. What's the best move of this window, Domino? What's the best move of the window, Doyle? You could choose the entire St. Louis roster.
Wait for an MLS or for Shamrock Rovers?
Football Manager. Who would be your top Football Manager signing?
Do you think Silgo has a chance this season?
Sligo.
Sligo? Is that how you pronounce that?
Oh, boy. What's the best move of this window?
Trading up to draft Duncan Maguire. All the geniuses are doing it.
That's right. That's right. I mean, that's part of the best offseason in Major League Soccer by Orlando City. Which, if you would like
Josh's
to take
head
that,
is gonna explode.
If you just want to take all of Orlando City, Dave, you're welcome to do so.
Yeah, can I read you the Oscar Pereja quote again? It takes a while to put teams together and have them be good.
Yeah, no, but sounds like he's a believer.
He is a believer.
In the David Goss theorem.
He absolutely is. The fact that Orlando's already has a trophy this year is just ridiculous. Like, imagine the domino effect of being able to play from a trophy as the offseason champions appointed by Tom Bogert. Uh-huh.
You're over-indexing domino at this point.
Do you have a real one, Doyle, or is Duncan Maguire your real
first
one?
First of all, for the love of God.
The Duncan Maguire one, like, that's going to turn into
like
a really...
Minutes.
Yeah, he scores every time he's on the field, Tom. Come on, man.
Are you related to him?
No, it's fine. It's the Carlos Graza signing. Like, this was like, okay, the Quakes are a serious club now. Like they've made a lot of good moves under Chris Leach, especially since they were able to ease Matias Almeida out of any decision-making responsibility. Like, once they stopped saying our transfer policy is to sign Matias Almeida's former players, like, they've made a lot of good moves. But the Graza one was like, if you're going to be a team that develops and sells young players, you have to give them a foundation. You have to give them the chance to be successful. And having a 27-year-old, like, rock-solid defensive midfield, like, that raises your floor so high. And that makes it so that kids like Cade Cowell play better. And hopefully Nico Sakiris, when he gets healthy again, he'll play better. And then Cruz Medina in a couple years when he gets on the field, he'll play better. So it was just like, okay, the Quakes are a serious soccer club. The Quakes are, like, they're not just trying to, you know, make up the numbers or whatever. Like, they're trying to win, and they have a clear idea of how they want to develop their players. That was the best move of the offseason.
Yeah, Matias Almeida, not a serious person in Major League Soccer.
Logan Roy would be unimpressed by Matias Almeida's style.
All right, Dave, you've left yours blank in the rundown. I've given you a list and potential assignments that you've eschewed in favor of your own path.
I don't really have one. One of my theories was to name all the people you were going to say. But I'm going to go with the Revs' general vibe of bringing in Latif and Dave Romney and not over indexing from the.
Just so you know, those names are on my list in addition to Bobby Wood, who you have not claimed as your own.
No, I'm not saying Bobby Wood. Well, you can keep that one.
It is like learning what worked for LAFC last year, because, like, obviously Puanga and Bale and the big moves that they made to get all the headlines, and, you know, even this year bringing in Timothy Tillman was turning out to be a very, very good move. And but what propelled LAFC from missing the playoffs in 21 to, like, starting to really run away with the Shield throughout the first half of last season, every move they made was an intra-MLS move. Every move they made was getting guys who were available to literally anyone in the league, getting them to come to LAFC. That's how John Thorrington remade that team and remade that roster. And Bruce Arena kind of took a page from that book by going out and getting guys like Latif and Romney.
It's his book. That's Bruce Arena's book. Just go back to all of their previous acquisitions. It was not just around the league. It was Galaxy guys.
Yeah, but with the Galaxy, he would bring in his Stefan Ishizaki, Mickey Varnin, and guy every year.
I'm saying, Chris Burchill.
Oh, you're saying at the Revs, bringing AJ, Omar Gomez, Ema.
Well,
that didn't work very well.
No, but I'm saying it's like, oh, John Thorne invented this. Like, we were giving crap to the Revs and Bruce Arena for this a couple years ago. It's like, wow, look at him. He learned from John Thorne.
Theory. Bobby Wood is LAFC's Marco Arena. Domino.
Doyle made my point for me, which
was running great. Into the ground in 20 minutes.
Well, we got Weeby here. I mean, sure. It never stood a chance.
I haven't even gotten to make one of these jokes yet.
I just think, one, to not overcorrect in saying, like, to not give up on the guys you brought in last year, which I think is really big, and to still believe that Heal and Boo and those guys are the same guys from 2 years ago. And so I thought they played that middle ground really well. Bringing Latif in has helped Matt Polster a ton. I didn't realize Dave Romney would be the locked-in starter, even for what they gave up for him.
Yeah.
I still didn't assume he was.
They didn't give up that much.
500,000.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Okay, man. Fair.
It was a really good trade, by the way.
But you assume if you give up 500,000, you're getting a start.
Well, and right? remember, it's 500,000 and also a new contract.
Yeah.
So that's part of the math on that as well, because Romney wanted a new deal. Okay, I'll throw it to you here, Tommy Scoops.
I'm going to go with James Sands.
No, you're supposed to say Giacomakis and ruin his whole list.
I still have more. I always have a secondary list. You thought I wouldn't, and you don't
on
have
a second rundown.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a secret family.
No, James Sands, it was just a really good move. Again, it was a loan that ended, but they had to keep him, and with a new contract and with a, hey, we'll play you at six. These are what we're laying out. This is why coming back here is the best for your career. Like, again, I think that this was the best acquisition for this team. It frees up Keaton Parks to play a little bit further up the field, and I'd like that.
I mean, we literally saw it last week with that goal. He like, at the start of the season, he doesn't get to make that run.
Exactly. And I understood the thought of him playing deeper as kind of the ball progressor, the press resistance and all that, but, like, when you have a destroyer in James Sands behind you, it just opens up the game and gives you more freedom, and I really do like that move because of the way that it's opened up things for the midfielders, for the players around him. Like, I'm not sure if you can play Richie Ledesma in central midfield without somebody like James Sands playing behind you. Alfredo Morales, it's unfortunate for him because I think that he's a starting quality player in this league, and it's going to be a little bit difficult for him to get minutes, and it's helped shield the back line. number six is our force multipliers for me. And I know that Doyle shares this vision. He's talking about Guerrero rather than goal scorers here. And I'm talking about James Sands. So again, I think that's every kind of championship caliber team needs a player like that.
I appreciate that Dave took the bait on my Revs list here. You did not take Georgios Giakoumakis, and that's going to be my pick. I think that when you listen to Garth Lagerwey talk about how you build a team and how he thinks about building a team, he always talks about that in-prime guy that you can build around. Same as Guerrero, et cetera, force multiplier. Giakoumakis is his first big foray in Atlanta, and it seemed to have worked out really well. 4 goals so far. He's injured, probably out this weekend, but just looks like a guy that for the next 3, 4, 5 years is just going to hoover up goals for them as they cycle through U22s or other pieces around him. So thought that one's a really good one. Then under the radar, Christian Ramirez. Don't think you're going to jump in before I can get a pick.
I don't even think
that you can get in.
I think that he is a force multiplier too because of everything we've said. It opens the game up for Thiago Almada. It makes everything so much easier because he's...
So the real move...
The
domino effect that allowed them to get Giakoumakis was getting rid of Moreno, right?
Yeah,
still doesn't make a lot of sense to me because he only hit the budget at 200,000. How is that? Like, because Marcy Moreno was supposed to hold their third DP spot because of the way that if you loan a player out, but you spent a transfer fee for him, they still kind of count against your cap because of the transfer fee. It's all in the weeds and stuff. And I don't know how the difference here was just a U22.
It's a strange one. And I wish it were less opaque. I wish they opened the books and showed us how.
Garth will probably just call in and explain.
Yeah, exactly. First time, long time.
Yeah.
we got the capability set up.
Honestly, though, it's like the Guerrero thing where it's like, okay, serious soccer club move. Where it's like, we got a signing wrong. Marcy Moreno's a talented player. I think like the Rapids should have gone after him or something like that. You know, like I think he could be really good, but he made Atlanta worse because he clogged up where Thiago Almada needed, and like he didn't make the runs that he needed to make. And it was a serious soccer club move to be like, okay, we're going to take the L. We're going to eat the contract to a certain degree on this one so that we could open up a DP slot and bring in a striker like Giakoumakis and get a left winger like either Etienne or Caleb Wiley out there who don't need the ball, who can stretch the field, and who could be force magnifiers for the force magnifier.
You guys have really over-indexed that.
Yeah, it's getting beaten into this.
This is coming up swinging.
Exactly. All right, let's look ahead to the summer. Doobie asks us to preview the big summer signings and, yes, talk about Messi just a little bit, but don't dwell on it. Dustin asks who Thorington might target for a summer DP move. And I also know you have some stuff on Sifu and Opoku. So if you want to hit that, you can. And maybe get your big picture thoughts on the summer window that is a ways away. But, of course, teams are preparing.
Yeah, I mean, Messi's got to be the first mention. Be disingenuous or not. We'll see if that goes down. I think, you know, Miami have been positive. The reports that came out of Europe in December claiming that it was all agreed for him to stay at PSG, those have been backtracked pretty heavily.
We move on those.
Yeah. So we'll. From what I had heard from around that time, everybody's very confident. And some of the phrases I've heard from a lot of people around the league is it's when, not if. And I know Miami are positioning it to Messi as it's got to be now. Hey, this deal's not going to be on the table. It's only this summer. It's a specialty, all this stuff. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm very hopeful. Even just taking my fan hat on, it'd be phenomenal to have him in the league. So yeah, any start to talk about the summer transfer window that isn't starting with Lionel Messi is disingenuous. I'll keep it quick here with Jose Cifuentes. He's out of contract after the season. There's a possibility that LAFC could say, all right, like we'll recoup something. Give us $3 million for him. He's yours now, right? Leeds have looked into it. Rangers have looked into it. About 100 clubs should be looking into this. He's an Ecuador international rising talent. He's got the physicality to play in a lot of different leagues. He's got the technical ability to play a lot of different leagues. So, like, interest can be a loose term, and I understand that. But a player coming out of contract at this age, at this profile, at this ability, 100 teams should be looking at it. And I'm sure that they are, but the ones that I know would be Leeds, Rangers, and some others.
How about Opoku?
Same thing. A lot of teams have called, you know, in the winter, a couple MLS teams made trade offers to try to take him off of LAFC. Montreal was a team that was trying. Dallas was a team that was interested as well. And right now, Bordeaux in France are a team that's kind of registered. They're interested. They're trying to get promoted back to Ligue 1. And there are teams in like Belgium and the Netherlands, which caps what the transfer fee might be because that the money isn't the same there as it is in the Premier League or somewhere else. So I'm interested to see what happens. You know, LAFC don't want to lose him. Just because teams are interested doesn't mean that you're trying to get rid of him. So again, we'll see what happens there.
So Taylor Twellman had an interesting tweet the other day about Adam Buxa potentially coming back to MLS, maybe on loan. It's not worked out really for him in France. A lot of it down to injury, plagued by ankle injuries. He's missed a ton of games. He's really only played, I think, four for loans and none as a starter. Give me a couple of spots, Doyle, where you think he could land that would be interesting.
Well, I mean, who needs a nine, right? Houston comes to mind. I know that we talked on Monday about how Adrian Heath would really like to get in a high-scoring, reliable
Minnesota
number nine.
Would be a good one.
Proper target forward, too, mate.
Forward. He doesn't fit for LAFC. I think he would be very good there, but LAFC have all three U22 initiative slots filled. So whatever third DP they're bringing in either has to be below the max TAM hit or a young DP. So I don't think Buxa would be able, I don't think an MLS team would able,
could
be able
you get
to
him on loan in the sense you pay, like we're going to pay just enough to get us under the threshold.
Yeah. I mean that like,
but you have to have the
purchase
option.
And then, but LAFC have had done that before where we'll figure it out later.
They just assume you'll retire and go play golf. Exactly. So they don't have to worry about it.
A quick tangent is that
LAFC LA Country Club.
Yakumakis was it. Atlanta originally had the deal structured that it was a loan and the purchase obligation was just so light that it was pretty much a permanent transfer, but they were trying to work the cap gymnastics and like the league said no, like that we're not going to do that. And it wasn't just Atlanta, a couple of the other MLS teams that were interested in Yakumakis, they were told he has to be a DP if that's what the purchase clause is the auto trigger is like he plays a handful of games or whatever, like no, like you're not getting around the rules and we're not setting that precedent.
Nashville with Adam Buxa.
That's a good call.
Basically played the same role with no.
They still have all three filled. Like Ake Loba still counts as a DP, and now that he's injured in Mexico, it's not like Mazatlan are going to buy him.
No, they are not.
Man. Tough. That one's tough. All right, maybe one more here on the transfer front. Kai Wagner, we've talked about him with you over and over and over and over, and it doesn't look like his move is going to materialize. So then what?
He's out of contract. There had been after the season. There have been talks with Philly and Kai Wagner. It seems to me that barring pretty drastic changes, he's going to at least enter free agency when his contract ends, and then see what happens. Philly love him. I know the coaching staff would love to keep him. The front office, I'm sure, would as well. Kai really loves it in Philly. He was courtside at the Sixers game. I was very jealous of his seats. I'll say that much.
Sorry, Kalen Carr.
Yeah.
Another tough Brooklyn Nets loss.
But he's been talking about wanting to go back to Europe for a couple of years, and Philly haven't been trying to stand in his way for the last probably 12 months, or at least 6 months, and just offers haven't come. So maybe that changes if he's a free agent rather than somebody you need to have acquisition costs into. But yeah, it's pretty fluid right now. And I would really assume that he's at least going to get to free agency barring a real big offer from Philly.
Here's my long-term take. Vancouver is going to max him out. They love spending money on a fullback. They could play him, Julian Gressel in center mid, Lewis Martin. I mean, they could have 15 of them.
Who's the Iraqi international that they made?
Ali Adnan.
Yeah. He was a DP left back.
One of the great MLS moves that never happened was Vancouver tried to trade their problem of Ali Adnan to Miami to take on Miami's problem, Matias Pellegrini, when they had one too many DPs. That would have been just a classic intra-MLS move.
NYCFC starter, Matias Pellegrini.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
Good nugget there.
You can't keep him down.
Speaking of free agents in Philly, Jim Curtin's contract is tick-tock coming up. Jay Sugarman, the owner, said that they are going to make sure they get that figured out before the contract runs out, but it seems interesting that he still doesn't have an extension.
It's insane to me that we're April 19th and Jim Curtin is still an expiring contract. If this was April 19th, 2022, I'd say it's pretty crazy, but I'm sure that they'll figure it out in the summer. Then they didn't. And then they got to MLS Cup. They were tied for the Supporters Shield and they still didn't. I thought that would be the first thing after, you know, you take a couple of days off. I just don't understand how it's come to this point. It doesn't make any sense. It's undervaluing Jim Curtin. It's blatantly disrespectful to the work that he's done to over the last however, you know, 5-6 years. They've been in tandem with the front office and the coaching staff. They've worked very, very well together, and you don't want to kind of separate and try to assign, you know, exact amount of credit to whatever. Like, this is a great thing that both parties have going, and I don't know why they haven't taken care of their club legend head coach.
Put a ring on it. Come on. Like, we've been sitting around. Put a ring on it.
Like, you run the risk of, if he wasn't such a Philly guy, you'd run the risk, like, another person might be like, screw you, like, I'm not even gonna talk now, like, I'm gonna just go somewhere else. And oh, you think that you can replace me? Like I don't know. It's just, when you have a coach like this, when you have things that are going so well as they are, both from performance to development and all of that, again, the front office has done a phenomenal job at supplying that talent. Just keep a good thing going. I don't get it.
Got so excited I heard the swishing from the jacket. That's a good segment right there. Love it. All right, match day 9. We spent a ton of time on transfers, but it's been a good time. Watchability rankings. We all chose a team that we're enjoying watching right now. None of us chose LAFC, so apologies to the black and gold before you get crazy in our mentions. We like watching you as well, but you didn't get picked. Dave, start us off. Who you like watching right now?
I'm enjoying Atlanta United. I thought they were really fun to watch in Toronto this weekend. They did it without Thiago Almada. They might have to do it without Giacomakis this week, but I thought that was the best game Luis Araujo's played me probably in his Atlanta career. Had an assist, but he's making the right decisions right now. You add Derek Etienne on the other side. Chol comes off the bench, scores a goal. This is the most cohesive they've looked as a group under Gonzalo Pineda. So if you bring Thiago Almada back into that team, I think it's less everyone stands around and hopes Almada does something special. I think there's a lot more already built in right now. So if he and Giacomakis are healthy, I think they're must watch. But anyway, I think they're really fun. And then in this weekend, they play Chicago, which Brian Gutierrez is must watch in Major League Soccer. Shaqiri might be back in. So it's been, they give up goals, so they're entertaining. And I think that's going to be a really fun matchup.
Doyle, who you got?
The Quakes. The Quakes are under Lucci. They're doing a lot of stuff right. They're not shooting themselves in the foot or the face the way they used to under previous managers.
Vivid.
And they're like, it's not just eliminating mistakes. It's they have really good ideas going forward. I think their final third patterns are getting better. In Christian Espinoza, they have like a best 11 caliber, you know, potential dark horse MVP candidate.
He's, I don't think it's dark really, horse.
I mean, come on. It's
the Lewis Morgan of the West.
Yeah, there you go.
But he's been good for several years, but he definitely, like, he's more goal dangerous now. And Abobas, he scored about 17, 18 goals last year and had a little bit of a slump, but broke out of it last week. And then with Sakiris getting closer, like, he's a really high upside young player, really enjoyable to watch. He'll start getting minutes hopefully in the next couple of weeks here. They're at RSL this weekend. RSL games are always fun for one reason or another. Like, this is one I'm going to be focused on pretty hard on Saturday night.
Tom, what do you got?
Columbus Crew. I wasn't sure how quickly Wilfred Nantse was going to make this team super watchable and get them to the point that he had.
They're the most fun team to watch in the league right now.
Yeah. And for better and worse too, because they have defensive fallibilities and that makes the game play open. They are, even against, on the road against the Red Bulls, they're trying to play out through the press.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
So brave. No, I'm serious.
It's so sarcastic.
I'm sorry. That's just my voice. It's like the old Kids in the Hall sketch. No, I'm so sorry.
No, but they have watchability just because they try to play really well. And again, they're not locked down defensively. So even in a bad way, their watchability goes up too. So again, I'm very impressed. We've spoken a ton about this team over the first 9 weeks of the season, so I don't have much more to add.
Yeah, would love to see Cucho get going to add another element for our personal enjoyment, but
not for Dave's Golden Boot team.
No, certainly not for that.
Cucho's going 0 for 2023.
Man knows how to rock a bag, though.
He's looking good in the boxes. Yeah. He's cheering on the goals.
Kevin Molino's like, oh, we sit up here. I'll show you where to sit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Kev.
Second course comes out after halftime. Yeah. They always have these drinks.
If you want the real sugar cookies, they're around the corner.
Oh, gosh. At Charlotte this weekend, who also have a habit of giving up a lot of goals and are starting to score them. So that could be entertaining. Bank of America Stadium, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Of course, all these games on MLS Season Pass. I am going to take the Colorado Rapids. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Rapids, but I'm taking St. Louis City SC.
Who are playing the Colorado Rapids.
Unnecessary to the Colorado Rapids there. Just
I have been like the lone supporter of the Rapids in these parts for more than a month.
A true extra time fan would know that, Tom.
Yeah,
come on.
That doesn't change anything. It's still unnecessary.
They know I love them, Tom. They know. St. Louis City, just the sort of collective nature of what they're doing. And we made a joke of it like before the season started. And I understand why we did that, because we didn't think that maybe the talent level was up to snuff. But all those guys that were sort of like, oh, that's kind of a, you know, that's a squad player, are right now playing like a locked in MLS starter quality player, scoring a ton of goals. The press just makes it interesting, but it's not just the press for them. I think they can sort of go into a different gear if they have to. And it's just fun. Whether it's at their stadium, whether it's away, like the vibes are immaculate. And when I turn on a game, I want to see smiles. I want to see guys trying. I want to see guys like playing at a level that I didn't think was possible, and shoving it back in my face, basically. So it's
also,
it's
are we
fun.
Getting invited to a James Beard level dinner?
So I figured it out. He did all the food, the guy that had all the pizza boxes we talked about on the last show. He did all the food for the stadium.
Okay.
He was delivering pizza to the supporters section, which is why he had like 12 or 15 pies.
So does he want us to come to a dinner? Because
David, have you had a St. Louis style pizza?
I have probably had it in my life, but it's not a thing that I acknowledge.
I've heard bad things about it. It's not bad. Like it's really weird. It's different. Like they have their own special cheese that you could only get in St. Louis.
What was the name of the
Provel?
Yeah.
I've had good food in St. Louis.
It's
the
cheese that
myself.
Shall not be named.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find a camera to look in and discuss. So Thomas and Ronda.
Honestly, St. Louis barbecue blew me away. St. Louis barbecue I thought was so good. But their other food in St. Louis is essentially a
toasted
pizza
ravioli.
It's a pizza roll, right? A pizza roll. They're like, this is our cuisine. It's a special thing. You can only like that's a pizza roll.
We fried ravioli. That's really what it comes down to. Okay, we're gonna get you to this Kevin Paredes interview, but first, a list: the best 2,222 players so far in Major League Soccer. If somebody would like to do some dramatic musical renditions or just we could do that. Any thoughts you have, I'll pause after each and you could give a nugget or not. Caleb Wiley on our early list of 22 under 22 players that have stood out, been really good in Atlanta, obviously. Brian Gutierrez, it's been a little slow after a hot start when he replaced Shaqiri.
It has not been slow. He looks awesome.
He's been really good. Score production.
Okay, well, stop looking at the stats and watch the games.
Okay, fair.
There's only 15 a weekend. He has been awesome. And the key with him, which is why it's going to be interesting with Shaqiri, is it's not just he's a decent attacking presence. He is a pace setter right now.
Correct.
They play through him. He plays you out of pressure. He is everything you want at that position. I have no idea how Shaqiri gets back into the team alongside him, but you cannot move him the way he's playing.
I agree, and he's not as effective on the wing. So could we see Shaqiri on the wing? Ezra's got some issues to work out there. I have Yerson Mosquera in this list.
He's been very good.
Really good time.
For Cincinnati.
Is he
going
to stay for the year?
They can extend the loan through the season, so they're going to do that.
Is there a purchase option?
There is not, because Wolves really rate him highly, but Cincinnati has a U22 initiative slot.
Okay. Speaking of that spot, or similar players that occupy one, Kerwin Vargas.
I wish.
Kerwin Vargas was a
question
mark last year.
He has not performed.
You don't think
at
so?
At the level you'd like,
it's
but he is electric when the 7 seconds he's on every other game are awesome. And if it's more consistent, it would be great. He clearly is the answer for them on the wing.
Aiden Morris is still eligible.
He's probably leading the 22 under 22 race at this point.
Yeah.
And he makes it by like a week.
I think who picked it? Did we pick him as a collective preseason? I don't remember even how we did preseason.
I think I had Dylan Barrero, I think, and he's probably second in that.
Have Dylan Barrero on this list next,
as
alongside Noel Buck.
As we should.
They're very good.
I didn't have Noel Buck this high. He's been like the biggest surprise of any of the super young kids. I think even more than Caleb Wiley has been a big surprise, being that effective in attack. But like Noel Buck looks like a veteran.
Yeah.
But now he might have lost his job because Latif is back. We'll see.
Miguel Perez would be on that list as well, right? Came out of nowhere in my mind.
Yeah.
And then two starts.
I mean, really good, but I like Buck is
100%. Yeah. But Buck has more pro experience coming into it.
I'll mention Owen Wolf as well. He's been very good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good
like,
call.
He's
been really good.
The only really like silver lining right now for Austin is that Owen Wolf and Danny Pereira together in central midfield, like that looks like a very good combo for a long time.
Andrew says that we have to go fast because we have a reservation for fried chicken in K-Town.
Weeby has to get back to New Jersey.
It's not the only reason. Cade Cowell, Juan David Mosquera, Andres Gomez, and Josh Atencio.
I've never eaten dinner at 5:30 before in my life. So
I've extended it to 6, okay? So we have a clip here from a Kevin Prentice interview that Jonathan Siegel did at MLSsoccer.com. You can read the full story there, but these are sort of, we plucked what we thought were very good answers that you would be interested in out of it. Hearing about his transfer, how it happened, how it developed, a very personal story from Kevin, how he settled in Germany, and which young player is next at DC United. Enjoy.
Yeah, I think I was just finishing up preseason training, and my agent calls, and he just tells me there's a couple teams interested, and he mentioned Wolfsburg, and I was like, wow, this is crazy, you know, Bundesliga, you know, I would never expect that, you know. I just finished up training, and then I remember getting in my car, he calls me, and I try to keep it calm, you know, so that, you know, I've been through these things like a professional. But as soon as I hung up the call, I was screaming in my car, and I immediately called my parents, my mom and dad and my brother, saying there was really good interest from there. And we were very happy. And when, you know, the deal finally finalized, I remember I went to my parents' room. I was actually in the house, the apartment of Jacob Green, Moses Nyman, and Jeremy Gray. When I got the call from DC and Wolfsburg saying it was finalized, I was just chilling with them, and also Griffin. I was just chilling with them for the day, and they called me and said it's finalized, and I came back into the room. I left the room at the time when I took the call. I came back into the room, and I just came up with a smile, and the boys already knew what happened, and we all celebrated together. We're all happy together, and then probably 10 minutes later, I went back home. I got my family together because they didn't know yet, and I told them, and I was in my parents' room at the time, and I just remember my mom crying. My dad was really happy, my brother was really happy, but my mom was crying because, you know, the little baby in the family had to leave. It was just an amazing moment at the time. It's a crazy experience. There was definitely a lot of difficult moments in the first early parts. You know, when you're 18, you spend 18 years of your life with your family in a house with your brothers and like this, and out of nowhere you take a plane and, you know, you're on your own now. You know, it's crazy to think about. I was by myself. You know, 4,000 miles away from my family. You know, I don't have my parents to lean on at night or something like this. And you know, everything here was just, you know, I had amazing support from Wolfsburg, from the players, from the staff, and everyone. But a lot of things, you know, you have to do yourself and stuff like this. And, you know, finding the grocery store or asking people for water or where the food is at and all this stuff, it was definitely difficult. Like I said, it was definitely, I had difficult moments. But I think I had, you know, some of these teammates welcomed me so easily here. They helped me, you know, with anything I needed to do here. But just not having, you know, the family and your friends and stuff like this, and you're 6 hours ahead of the normal time, there's definitely difficult moments, but it's all worth it. I know one player right now is having a lot of success for DC, as Ted Cudipietro. I know he's balling out. It's for me, it's normal to see what he'd done at the academy when I was playing with them, and even before the academy when we played against each other, U8 to, you know, then we played U12 together like this, and it's, for me, it's normal to see how well he's doing right now. He's having big success right now. Also, players like Jacob Green, he's doing well as well. Who else? And Matai. Matai is he's young, but I think in a couple of years when he gets more settled in the league, he gets the confidence. You can really see how, you know, how good he is at the moment. With a couple of years, like it happened to me at first, you could see it. And then, you know, a year or two later, I really sprout out. And I think that would be the exact same for him as well.
Big Teddy KDP guy, no surprise there, from Kevin Paredes. Go check it out on MLSsoccer.com. The full story from Jonathan Siegel. Good stuff with Kevin Paredes, who is flying the MLS and DC flag in the Bundesliga right now. Let's go to the mailbag and we'll get on out of here. Said we would talk about Kansas City, and we're going to do it. We have an email subject line that is, when is the time to let go of PV? He just signed a 5-year deal, so Probably not now. Joe from Lawrence says, I'm curious, how long do you think Sporting KC's winless streak could continue before there would be some change? At the moment, it feels like we go the entire season without a win and nobody would feel any pressure to improve. He says he's been making the trip to Kansas City to watch for years and years, whether it was at Arrowhead with Jimmy Conrad and Eddie Johnson and now at Children's Mercy Park. And he is very frustrated that there's not a path forward that he thinks is going to improve the club on the field. What do you think of the path that Kansas City are on? Meanwhile, Adam and KC did hit us up and says he still believes, and he is frustrated by his fellow fans that don't see a path forward as well.
I think you should stay mad at your friends. Yeah. Don't agree with you. I think that's probably the best way to handle it.
I mean, they haven't been able to identify or sign a defender in forever. And, you know, I think Peter Vermes is still a very good coach. He's been let down by Peter Vermes, the general manager.
That's the thing you think he's the best at, is the coach.
I think so. Okay. I think so still. Like, I like that game model. They need to rework their scouting department. They had a couple of hits. I still believe in Willie Agata. I think Eric Tommy's very good.
Yeah.
But, like, they have not been able to get a defender in there. And it's been a long time, right? Like,
basically since Aurelien Collin. An overseas signing has not hit in that
position. Well, like, Andrea Fontos had a best 11 quality.
Yeah, he had one very
see
good
that face.
The holes were clear on that.
Yeah.
Right. So they, in like, the fullbacks have not been a ton better. Graham Zusi's 1,000 years old.
Still holding on. Still among the top chance creators at fullback in the league. But yeah, the Leibold signing had some potential, but he's been hurt.
Yeah, they haven't hit at left back. Eiko Parra was the last center back that they brought in. That was good. Again, not overseas. And Matt Beasley. So, like,
they could have re-signed Ike, but didn't.
Yeah. But, like, they have not identified a defender in that entire time.
So, you look at the scouting department. You look at the other people who are bringing talent in. Because it's not going to be Peter Vermes. He's just signed a 5-year deal. He's like, he has job security. Someone like they have to rethink the structure of the rest of the front office.
Yeah, the goal scoring part is concerning. They've had a lot of shots, but they have really low quality of shots. So that's a concern. And also of late, a big concern is just mental errors. I mean, whether it be, you know, Ben Sweat's not there anymore because of the second yellow probably against Seattle. Robert Castellanos last weekend essentially cost them the opportunity to compete.
What is Tim Melia doing on Rubio's goal 2 weeks ago? He steps off the near post. Yeah. Rubio's 35
and this is also
yards away.
Am I the only person who could hear Anders freaking out in the cans?
No.
Anders wants us to say, Domino
wants more professional than you. We can work through it.
It's very quiet in my ears. Anyway, that's the end of the show. We'll see you
on Monday.
That's a cough button.
Yeah, I muted you.
Domino, adios. We'll be right back.